Hello, everyone. Welcome to What is Covenant, Specialized Pastoral Care Services, Christian Counseling Ministry with Dr. Michael David Clay. I promised, and I deliver, the conclusion of this series of podcasts on just that, the deliverer, Jesus the Christ, in this way. We started back in Judges, actually went even back to Moses, Exodus, but we continued through Judges, Gideon, Samson, went to Isaiah, speaking therein of the suffering servant, Isaiah 52, I believe it is, let me make sure I've got that right, actually it's 53, the notion that it wasn't going to be by power or might. It was not going to come out of mammon. It was not going to come from killing, stealing, and destroying. It wasn't going to be from human iniquity and the sin thereof. It was going to come from a completely different place. And one otherwise that God, only God, could come from. Of such heavenly proportion and dimension that no human could have ever possibly come to an understanding and awareness and understanding of such were it not for, one, the Holy Spirit, and secondly, Jesus the Christ. But from the very beginning, God knew it would take all of that, time to get to what? Jesus' advent, to get to what? Then, as with Isaiah's prophecy, to get to what? The Gospels of Jesus the Christ, New Testament living Word of God, Word prophesied, telling of therein not only human iniquity and sin, but how the Christ would be different, how Jesus would come to save, how Jesus would offer judgment, but not in the way that humans offer judgment. Jesus would offer judgment in that he would example what God wanted all of us to be all along, the Son of God. All of God's glory manifest in Christ Jesus. And what is that? Perfect love. Unto what? Abundant life. For some? No, for all humankind. Jesus, the suffering servant, served humanity rather than conquered humanity. He conquered humanity. But he did so, and again, a quite opposite way to what most humans would think and have shown to be the human preference, which is, again, wars, rumors of wars, force, brute might, condemnation, judgment of that proportion, and in that iniquity, leaving no one but to the hell that that creates. Christ comes with the message of forgiveness. When we see Jesus as the advent of Christ, beginning with the New Testament, the Gospels of Jesus Christ, beginning with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those that were of the disciples with Jesus, we learn very quickly. Jesus was meekness. Jesus was humility. Jesus was humbleness. Jesus was the suffering servant. Jesus laid down his life so that we might have life. Jesus allowed himself to be subject to our crucifixion, whether it would be as in all humankind, as in when he went to the cross, or even now, still, residually, after the advent of Christ, there are some that still crucify Christ because they reject him. They reject the message, the gospel. They reject the meekness, the humility, the humbleness, the forgiveness, the perfect love of God. They reject it for themselves, and they refuse therein in disobedience of such then Bible, New Testament, royal law. Old Testament captures New Testament. Love others as you love yourself. Know there is but one God, loving with all thine heart, mind, soul, spirit, and strength. And then love others as you love yourself. And why? Because of Jesus, the advent of Christ. Jesus' gospel is perfect love. Jesus' gospel is not condemnation. Jesus' gospel is not to send anybody to hell. Jesus' gospel is to save. But God's word in Old Testament wasn't to send anybody to hell either, but to point out the fact, as with Jesus coming in the New Testament, not that God was a God of death or condemnation or hellfire and brimstone in the sense that he wanted to send anybody to hell, or that hell itself would have ever been created for anything but the devil and the angels that followed after him, primary to even before humankind and primary to the fall of humankind, before the fall, and some choosing that over perfect love, Holy Spirit redemption, Jesus Christ resurrection, humans, go to hell. But I don't think God sends him to hell. His judgment wasn't, you're going to go to hell because I'm mad at you. Even though God, I know, has wrath, God also, in his wrath, was more than willing to repent. And repent of what? That it would not go that way. He made a promise. He loves us. He created us. He's not going to take that from us, and he's not going to kill anyone. Because even so, God didn't kill Jesus or even allow Jesus to be killed as a consequence of human iniquity and sin as much. Jesus gave his life for just that, the judgment. God's judgment all along has been forgiveness. Yes, he gets mad, wrath. Yes, there is fire. Yes, you don't want to take God, tempt God. Take God lightly. He has the power to destroy, but he doesn't. He saves. But if the Old Testament pointed anything out in the way of a curse, it wasn't that God was cursing anyone, but that when we curse God, when we tempt him, when we are disobedient, when we reject the gift, we have no option but to go to hell, because what we have chosen is hell. God offers love. God offers forgiveness. God offers restoration. God doesn't expect you in material dimensions to be perfect. God expects you to allow the Holy Spirit to perfect you. His love manifests the Holy Spirit, manifests Jesus Christ in forgiveness to perfect you. Not so, as the Apostle Paul points out in the New Testament, we have a license now to sin, heaven forbid. But that we are so thankful that given a second chance, some of us need a few more, once we grasp the gift, once we understand that God so loved the world, he gave himself, his son, so that we might have then salvation, all that believeth upon Jesus will be saved. That's not about sending anybody to hell. All have equal access to Jesus the Christ. All have equal opportunity, whether the podcast helps or not. All will have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. All will know Word, Living Word, Bible, even. Not only because of, again, something like the podcast, which might be as much at times evangelical as it is anything toward instrumental toward discipleship, anything instrumental toward building up one's faith. There's a salvation message on the podcast. But salvation is of the heart, from the heart, not the human, but Jesus already in, waiting to come out. The Holy Spirit already in, waiting to bring forth. But if we don't accept Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, if we remain bound to killing one another, condemning one another, that sort of judgment, even taking over the promised land, assuming the promised land, that gift of the promised land, not only in geographical dimensions, but in spiritual. You don't take it by power and might. You take it by love. Otherwise, all you're going to do is just kill one another off. That's extinction. And maybe that is what eventually happens with humankind. I don't know. I am one of those individuals that believes once the human ends, it's over for the human. But not the human soul, because that's where Holy Spirit redemption, Jesus Christ's resurrection, salvation, as we're speaking of it on today's podcast, and we'll probably speak of it, have, continue, present, continue in the future to speak of it, is in Jesus the Christ. God doesn't want anyone dead. And the truth of the matter is, no one dies. Even the lost souls don't die. The human dies, but not the lost souls. They go to hell because they've chosen that. Those redeemed in the Holy Spirit, those that have given themselves as with will, choice of their humanity, I'm not going to hold on to mine. I'm going to give it to you, Jesus, because I'm going to accept that gift of you, your forgiveness, as God gave you to me for that purpose of salvation and to help me so that in the Holy Spirit I might be a son of God in you, Jesus the Christ. But when I give my life to Jesus and accept him as my Lord and Savior, I am immediately restored and redeemed of the what? Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? Love. I've chosen love over death. I've chosen to bless rather than curse. I've chosen to be as God, best I could, would tell me he wants me to be through, again, the power of what? The Holy Spirit, so that what? Jesus Christ. I can be an ambassador of Christ. I can be one in the Holy Spirit, and therein one with Jesus the Christ. I can allow Jesus the Christ to be resurrected in me, even while I'm still in my humanity. But one day when I pass on, my humanity again dies. It doesn't go to heaven. My spirit goes to heaven. But Jesus Christ is in that second coming resurrection now. Not only at the end of me, but end of all humankind in the same way, as would then be prophesied in the book of Revelation. But not only there, Isaiah 53 speaks to it as well. All Bible speaks to Jesus, not only Advent, first coming, not only first resurrection of Christ, but second and final resurrection of Jesus the Christ for the sake of all humankind being saved, so that when we get to the white throne judgment, as in the book of Revelation, as in that final coming of Jesus the Christ, that judgment will have already been made for those that believe. Why? Because we went the right way, which is in many ways not only the simpler, but the easier way. I don't have to carry that weight of my humanity. I don't have to carry the weight of my disobedience. I don't have to carry the weight of my rejection of Jesus the Christ, because I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior, because in that he has given to me the Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit wasn't there, but because I've laid down me. I've died to me, my humanity. He says, well, here, all of a sudden, only to me, here is the Holy Spirit. He's there in you. You just were killing him. You were grieving him. You were blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You were denying love. You were choosing the path of anger and wrath. You were lifting up arms against your neighbor, your family, your brother, your sister, even in Christ. You weren't abiding by the Ten Commandments two great commandments, Moses, two great commandments of Jesus. But if we're going to claim, if we are, or you are, going to claim the promised land, now, as with the second coming of Jesus, you have to realize it's not by power or might, except it would be the power and might of the Holy Spirit, but not of the human. Having said that, I promised to deliver unto you, as in this final podcast of in this particular series on deliverers and deliverance, going to the book of Revelation, and with that, acknowledging the second coming of Jesus, and that would be Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. So there you have it, Dave. You've just proven yourself wrong. There's a lot of violence, it seems, in that passage you read. If that's the second coming of Jesus and you say he's not going to come to kill, steal, and destroy, you say that he's all about forgiveness, you say his judgment is forgiveness, you say his judgment, God's manifest Christ, being a son of God, the royal priesthood, an ambassador of Christ, is to lay down your life for others, even as Jesus the Christ, you've just proven it wrong, because you've just read the proof text, as they call it, that points out, no, in the end, the wrath of God really does come through. The anger of God really does come through, because Jesus comes back and sets it all straight. But he doesn't in that way. Or I should say, possibly, but he doesn't, but he does in the way of the Word of God. And as much, again, judgment is for the human soul, I don't think any of this has anything to do with human body. I think the human body serves the human soul. I think the choice therein is for us as human souls to serve God. That's the suffering servant, Isaiah 53. But if we submit, or as we submit, not body to human soul, but human soul to Jesus the Christ, and in that service unto God, and what? Perfect love and abundant life, salvation even, Holy Spirit redemption, Jesus Christ's resurrection for all who would receive, evangelical to the very end. Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, unto what end? Redemption and salvation, not mass murder, not killing, not even killing the human soul. Rather, the curse as pointed out, as would be then one's cursing, which I believe is the origin of the curse. God just points it out. The cursing of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, even as God, as the Word of God, has spoken it no different than he spoke it to Adam and Eve in the garden. No different than the Old Testament has spoken it throughout those generations that were of record or recorded history in the Old Testament. And no different than now, Word of God, living Word, since the advent of Jesus, to then hear, as in the book of Revelation, the final coming of Jesus the Christ, the second coming of Christ. It's the same Word. It is the sword, two-edged sword. It is the one that was flaming, that Adam and Eve and all of us have to pass through to get back into that promised land of the garden experience of oneness with God, not only in bodily communion, conversation, communication, communion, conversation, but more even for when the bodily ends, to maintain the spiritual union, the oneness with God in the Holy Spirit. And what again? Love. God loves you. Why do you hate God? God loves you, even forgave you, even turned the other cheek in sending Jesus unto you so that you could then see how much he loved you and how God's intent was not to kill, steal, and destroy, murder, curse, send anybody to hell. How could you crucify Christ? How could you take that out on him? It's because you chose to. I don't mean that personal to any of you who might be listening to podcasts, but I mean it very personal to any of you who might be listening to podcasts who don't know Jesus, who've not accepted him again as Lord and Savior. That sword is the message of salvation. That sword is the call to repentance, penitence. That sword isn't saying that, well, you've done all this and you've been condemned and here it is now. This is the final proclamation of that, immediate to, again, that whole white throne judgment that would proceed forth after, post Jesus' second coming. No. God's not going to condemn you any more then than he is now. You condemn yourself, and his judgment is just to point out, here's Jesus, here you are. Here's what I sent you in Jesus. Here's what Jesus' gospel is all about. Here's what the Christ has come to do. He's come to forgive you. He's come to bring good tidings of my perfect love unto you. He's come to set the captives free. He's come to liberate you from the hell that the devil has convinced you, conned you into, creating, turning on one another out of anger and wrath, seeking vengeance, seeking that level of judgment. Even if you call it reciprocity, even if you call it karma, it's not God. There is an element of that, Old Testament, but God gave that in a lesser of love, a lesser manifestation, expression of love, simply because humans in the Old Testament weren't ready yet to receive Jesus. Yet, he hadn't come yet. Weren't ready. They could have, but they couldn't. And God knew that, and then that is once more why there is such a thing as time, because within time, God had it all planned through the judges through all of those, the prophets, even as much through Moses, even as much through Solomon, God preserved and sanctified humankind in the best way that he could by speaking royal law authority into their life and saying, don't do that. You're going to kill one another. And if you're not careful, not only will you bodily end up killing one another, but more than the body, you're going to kill the soul. The body is of the lowest dimension. It is clay. The human soul is elevated above the human body. And all those things that are animalistic, all those things that are somehow instinctual, out of the animal sort of dimensions of the human flesh, God gave us a soul so that we would not have to do that to one another. It's still human, so it's still attached to the body, and the body still has great sway or influence over the human soul. And some has total control of the human soul, their bodily instinctual. But it is iniquity. It is sin. It is corruption. But Jesus comes, points out, brings forth our awareness of the Holy Spirit, that we do have love inside of our hearts. We just have to turn away from the anger and wrath and the hate. Because it's going to take us nowhere but to hell. That's the curse. He said, well, God set it up that way. So really, he did curse. No, it's mutually exclusive. You cannot love and hate. You can't. It's impossible. God's just pointing that out. Which will you choose? When Jesus comes that final time, and with that, there'll still be some humans still in human dimension, and as much then all the saints, so to speak, all the souls, so to speak, will be resurrected or will prove therein that God doesn't kill even human soul. Nobody dies. The body dies. But that's really not the soul. That's not really love God. There is but one God, loving with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. It's not about the body. It's about the human soul. But for redemption of the human soul, you have to choose Jesus. You have to choose love. You have to choose to lay down your life. It's going to go anyhow in a bodily way. So really, that's not at stake. Your body's going to end. And I'll go back to this passage and what I was being a bit bodacious about earlier. If you're thinking of this as like bloodshed, and there's a lot of carnage, and yeah, and there's people dying here, and you know, and that's out of evil, and that's out of wrath and anger, I don't think that really is the mind of God. It might be a bit like the mind of God in the Old Testament, but only so because God could present himself in such the way because of humanity's lack of ability to see him for the forgiveness that he was. He tried to show Moses his glory on the mountaintop. He was even as much Moses hidden in the cleft of the rock. Maybe that was because Moses couldn't look upon God face to face. In that way, when it comes to that, seeing his own humanity and recognizing the need for that to end, his humanity, Moses wasn't ready yet. So he's hidden in the cleft of the rock. But it may have also been just that, the covering of Jesus Christ, all in the Old Testament. But that's not the full countenance of God, the full face of God, the full truth of God. Now, then through a glass darkly, now face to face, faith, hope, and love, these three, the greatest of these is love. But if you're still looking at God that way, then you're not really saved. You can claim it. Jesus says that. There'll be many that say that they're one with me, and there'll be many even so that do many great miracles and works in my name. But when it comes to this moment, the book of Revelation, and then subsequently the white throne judgment, Jesus says, I don't know you. Why? Because even if you should have done that out of your human soul, because you recognize, at least in measure or some portion of this, the message of Christ, you still had evil upon your heart. You still chose to not serve God in the same way that Jesus serves God by loving us. And if you see God as being capable of sending somebody to hell in that way, you've got it all wrong. That's not God's heart. Short version, what I'm trying to say is that's not God's heart. God's heart is redemption. God's heart is salvation. God's heart is He loves you. So, going back, the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Faith, courage, true, just that truth. And in righteousness, courage and truth, he doth judge and make war. Who against? It's not you. It's the devil. God created hell for the devil. If there is a war or enmity, as in spiritual war, as in Jesus making war, it's just that. Love and hate. But even in the love, the warring side of it is probably more the hate. But the hate can't last. If you love as Christ loved, we love because God first loved us. If we practice royal law, if we love others as we've come to understand how God loves us because we love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And you could say, well, it is a bit of a war, but it's really only a war in our human. Or at least as with witness, we witness it in our human. Because when it's all said and done, there is no war. There's no rival to Jesus the Christ. There's no rival to God's love. No weapon formed against God, Jesus, us in Jesus, shall prosper. It can't. Love is light, and light always overtakes the darkness. Love heals all wounds. Love restores all souls. Love, and with that, perfect love, and with that, forgiveness as received and therein given, fixes all human iniquity, eliminates all sin, even if it just would do so, because forgiveness takes away the sting of not only sin, but death itself. That's righteousness. That's God's judgment. How do we know? Because in the book of Revelation, when it's all said and done, Jesus wins. Christ wins. Love wins. The devil goes to hell. The angels that followed after him go to hell. But why would you want to go to hell? Along with the other human souls that are lost. That's God's judgment. If Jesus makes judgment, again, it's because God sent him just to point out you can't have both. You have one or the other. You're either for me, as Jesus said, or you're against me. You're either hot or you're cold. There's no room in between because it's a mutually exclusive proposition. Verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I would be scared. Words can't capture it. Scared doesn't capture it. To look upon Jesus and look into his eyes and see hellfire, I would be afraid. But if I understand that it's only hellfire because I'm disobedient, I'm ashamed, I'm trying not to make eye contact, I'm trying to sneak out of the room, I'm trying to somehow, the rocks, hide me. Unfortunately, they're melting at that time. But the same fire in Jesus' eyes that for the loss is condemnation, out of the curse, who's theirs, out of the rejection, who theirs. They see that as wrath, they see that as anger, but once they do that, they're already in hell, torment, anguish. Once they see Jesus, once they understand that flame is a consuming fire that doesn't really, in the end, ever go out, it's hellfire for the lost. But the same fire in the eyes of Jesus is the passion, is the love he has for you. For those that understand that and realize, no, I don't want to run away from Jesus. I want to run to Jesus. Jesus, allow your fire, your love for me, the consuming fire of God, to remove my human iniquity and any subsequent sin. You are a flaming, burning bush. You are the flame on the altar. You are the burning that goes into the burnt offering. You are both the offering, but also the high priest that ministers that offering. So that as I then would go from the sin offering to the burnt offering, I can now claim the peace offering available to you, me, in you, Jesus Christ. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Why? Well, it would not be that God certainly didn't try or even succeed. It would be, though, that no human would ever be able to comprehend simply because it requires you to do exactly what Jesus has done. Not of yourself. I make that clear. Want to make that clear. Out of Christ in you. But it's the same thing. You have to die to yourself. To lay the human, it goes with your human soul, down so that as you lay it down, in Jesus the Christ, you can be taken back up or take it back up. Jesus Christ. We're Christians. We have a namesake. As we read in Isaiah 53, we're now of his generations. Lord of lords, King of kings. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And of course, even as such symbolism, it's not really all that mysterious or complicated should you know the Word of God at all, because he was crucified, bruised for iniquity, as Isaiah said, chastisement of our peace is upon him. We crucified Jesus, our humanity. Before that, we had no way to save ourselves because all of that is evil. And it is as much original sin. Why all of us have to come to Christ and confess it and ask for forgiveness so that we can really understand perfect love, God, how much He loves us. And then Jesus saves us. Not of humanity, but of the Christ. The Word of God tells us of this. God told us of this in the Old Testament, His people, us now. God demonstrated that in Christ Jesus, sent His Son to, as within living Word of God, mind of God, Old Testament, mind of Christ, New Testament, gospel of Jesus Christ, didn't come to overturn the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. And what was it? God died for you on the cross. Why won't you die for Him in that way? Why would you risk holding on to your humanity? And the risk being, in the end, Jesus says, you really didn't finish it. You said a lot of it, you did a lot of it. But for the power of the Holy Spirit already in you, and in the world still, until this point of the book of Revelation, where the Antichrist assumes that throne on the Temple Mount, and where then earth really becomes so dark, I believe, that there's not a bit of Holy Spirit left, except maybe for the remnant that were there. But the good news is it doesn't last long. And even in that time of tribulation, it's shortened. And even then, in the 3.5 or so years, as it was from 7, shortened to then the 3.5, it still is not as bad as hell is. But it gets pretty close to that. But for those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, who've accepted Him, who've accepted that forgiveness of God, who've received Jesus, we can lay claim to our inheritance. We can claim being of His generations. We can be now of this new name, this Word of God. And we have no lesser stature when it comes to God, not because we didn't come from humanity, but so did Jesus, at least part of Him. But Jesus was perfect from the very beginning to the very end. But even as such, then, the only one to, up to and through the end, maintain that righteousness. He is our cloak of righteousness. Verse 14, and the armies that were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And what would that be? I really would like to confess, I don't know it all. I wouldn't ever want to pretend like I ever would know it all, but for sure, here, maybe it's angels. I think it's us. I think it is the bride of Christ. I think it is us who have been saved. And in that, one with Jesus, Holy Spirit redeemed, Jesus Christ resurrected, one with Him, we're just additional testimony. And even so, white throne judgment, if there should be anything that goes unto those that are already redeemed in Christ, it's just that, the acknowledgement, the testimony. And should there be any rewards, we will lay them at the feet of Jesus, because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And when we think it about us, we're probably on thin ice. It's probably not where we want to be. Fine linen, white and clean, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus the Christ. Even so, his vesture dipped in blood. Ours too, as would then be laying down our lives for another, as would be called of the Holy Spirit. But you're going to give up your body. So if there is any blood, it's going to be in that. But it isn't that God murders you. It's just part of what goes into life. It is normal. It is the process of translation and transfiguration. It is the regeneration. It is the newness, the new creation, the new creature. It is God, creative. It is resurrection of life. I don't know that it will have human. Maybe it'll look like us. I don't know. But I'm sure that even if it looks like us, it'll look like then if we go there. Jesus Christ bodily resurrected. But I don't know that I want to end there if it means there's still some residual of me. I don't want to have anything left of me there. I want to be one with Jesus. So maybe it's all Jesus Christ resurrected, all come together in Christ. But it's not completely finished at this point in the book of Revelation, because there's a few more chapters and a few more incidences, a few more occurrences that have to take place before it is all a closed book. And no person should change any interpretation or word of it, lest he be cursed. Verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Again, Dave, I might be with you. You're compelling. I don't know if I am or not. You're making a compelling case. Maybe I have seen it all wrong. Maybe I'm still seeing it through the lens of mammon. Maybe I'm still guilty of too much human and not enough of the Holy Spirit. Maybe I don't have the full discernment of love. Maybe it's still a bit of sifting. Maybe I'm in a moment of sifting right now. But Dave, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, smite the nations, rule with a rod of iron, treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Well, again, the sword is truth. And I know that it doesn't necessarily physically kill. I guess you could say, well, if there's a testimony and if establish it, and then there's a death penalty. It's just a lot of ifs there. I understand our system of judgment works somewhat that way, if not entirely up to the somewhat. Not all have death penalty or death penalty attached to it. But I don't think that's what that's about. I think Jesus just speaks the truth and you're slain in the spirit. I think when the truth comes out, no lie, again, can stand against it. There's no rival when it comes to the truth. Because in the end, all of that is as with that flaming eyes, a fire of Jesus, all of that is going to, as with the rocks, melt away. There'll be nothing but the word of God left. That's the sword. That's the truth. And you can't do anything about that. Why would you? You wouldn't. Unless you just don't like the truth. And the devil is a liar. And anybody else who sides with him. And as far as smiting the nations, and with that, as much as again, all the things of the human persuasion, all the things possibly that could become idols, all the things that people might worship instead of Jesus, all the things that otherwise would then maybe be going on now, because this is also, as far as the book of Revelation chronology is concerned, the final judgment, Satan loose at the end of 1,000 years, the millennial is still yet to come in chapter 20. But what I would want to say is, though, anything, everything of human creation is going to bow a knee to Jesus. There'll be nothing that you've put in place of Jesus that will endure. And in that, all the failings of anything that is of humanism, the humanistic, anything of that world order sort of thing that contributed to the Antichrist, the beast, assuming again the political position of human concoction and making, it's all clay. Said that at the beginning of the podcast. It's all clay. Clay feet, Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon. It's all Babylon. Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. But the iron, again, is the word of God. You can't deviate from it. There's no room for that. And are we glad God's word includes forgiveness and love, even for the nations during the millennial reign? The trees that line the fountain, the river flowing from the fountain of the New Jerusalem, the foundations of the disciples, the temple coming down out of heaven. All of that is fruit in good season, but it's to feed the masses, and I'm sure it's with the idea of perfect love. Whatever that is, whatever the need might be, God's going to meet it. But I do know that still the devil has, post that 1,000 years, yet to be sealed forever, as with humanity ending, to never be a thorn in humanity's flesh again, and that there will be some in that loosing that will not endure to the end. Blessed are they that endure or overcome. The word of God will establish the kingdom of God in earthly sort of dimension, even until the final removal of Satan. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, water into wine. I don't know. Grapes, when they get pressed, I don't know if they feel pain. I don't know if they cry out. I hate the thought of anything being in pain. I hate the thought that anybody would do anything in that way to create pain. I hate the notion that somehow even as much humans would have any pain or suffering. But it is the way of the world, and it goes with the bodily. But we've already established on the podcast, even so today, the bodily is of earthen construct, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It does not endure, never was intentioned to. It's the human soul that gets saved, not the body. And if there is a bodily resurrection, as we've also mentioned that on the podcast, it would be for the time when there still might be some human aspect to either existence or understanding any of that with the evangelical truth, book of Revelation, sort of impact attached to it, or at least hope of a certain result, salvation, saving a soul. But if my body would be given to serve Jesus the Christ, and then in that way, service unto Jesus the Christ would, in that way, for the glory of God, in that way, for the sake of life, even in bodily, natural, organic sort of terms, require me to lay down my life, or I want to do it. If death is then that treadeth the winepress, and you might see that as fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Again, I don't know that God takes his anger out on humankind. I just think death is the way that he ends the devil. Death is the way that God has intentioned for the end of the devil. Death of our humanity. Because the devil's got nothing to work with. If you take away human iniquity. If you live in forgiveness, the devil doesn't have much to work with. No lying, no cheating, don't steal. Abide in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Moses, again, Jesus, New Testament. Two great commandments. Mind of God, mind of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Said all that today. I don't want to just keep repeating, but it's important to remember that if you do those things, even now, the devil gets no traction. And I do think that there is such a thing as righteous indignation, but God doesn't intend to stay in anguish or indignation or wrath. He's not going to hang on to that stuff. He's just going to forgive and move on. He asks us to forgive and move on. And verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. King of kings, Lord of lords. Can you say that about Jesus? Do you believe that about Jesus? Do you recognize him as both your king, as in any sort of physical human dimension for the now, but also realize he's more than that. He's more than Old Testament king fulfilled. He's Lord of lords because he's the Christ. He's God himself. He's the Holy Spirit. They are one. And in that, there's but three: Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and there's no room for you as a human except in him, Jesus the Christ. But to be there, you will recognize him as both King of kings and Lord of lords. He is your deliverer. This is your deliverance. This is the arrival of not only the kingdom of God, but to be the kingdom of heaven when all earth passes away, or at least of those earthen constructs, namely us. All that's going to be left is therein the judgment of Jesus the Christ. And what is that judgment? Thankfully, it's not condemnation. God's judgment is forgiveness. And all you have to do is repent. And what does that mean? Stop thinking human. Start thinking Jesus. And if that is human, for the sake of us understanding the mind of God through the mind of Christ, realize that there'll come a day when, just as with the Holy Spirit, it won't be in words that we know. It will be therein of that unique love language of God. That's the Word of God. Should you want to reach out to us, you can. Contact us. covenants.llc1@yahoo.com. Find us at covenantsonline.com, on Facebook and YouTube at Covenants. You can call 304-528-9220. We are on Facebook and YouTube at Covenants. And, of course, we'd love to have you back for our next edition of What is Covenants? Specialized pastoral care services, Christian counseling. You like that part? Sorry, I yodeled. Christian counseling ministry with Dr. Michael David Clay. Until we get that chance to meet again, I want to say thank you, but also want to wish you the richest of godly blessings.